And this is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
It is the right time to talk about why we need a new system and how to get there. To meld practice and theory on this question are Zwelin Zima Vave, General Secretary of the South African Federation of Trade Unions, SAFTU, which was founded in 2017 and which is the second largest of the country's main trade union confederations, with at least 21 affiliated trade unions organizing 800,000 workers working to create an independent, campaigning, and democratic trade union federation who shall defend, if need be, with their lives, the fighting independence of their revolutionary and socialist-oriented federation. Their words.
And Kalia Kuno is a co-founder and co-director of Cooperation Jackson and served as the director of social projects and external funding in the mayoral administration of the late Chukwu Lumumba of Jackson, Mississippi. His focus in this role was supporting cooperative development, the introduction of eco-friendly and carbon reduction methods of operation, and the promotion of human rights and international relations for the city. Kali also served as the co-director of the U.S. Human Rights Network.
And Gar Alperovitz has a distinguished career as a historian, political economist, activist, writer, and government official. For 15 years, he served as the professor of political economy at the University of Maryland. Among his many achievements is having been the architect of the first modern steel industry attempt at worker organization in Youngstown, Ohio, and Vavi, emerging models, all of you, for community-based political economic development and how we can begin to build and work towards the systemic change we need to save both democracy and the planet. And I'm just going to take the prerogative to let Zwelin Zima Vave start us in that direction.
Thank you very much for inviting us today. That strike has gone forward in South Africa, thousands and thousands of workers coming out to celebrate, to think about the heroic struggles of our comrades, confronting the excesses of the capitalist system, the long working hours, horrible working conditions, the days of the child labor, but also to then say, unfortunately, these struggles are not over. As long as the capitalist system remains, our gains are under threat here in South Africa as well as in the world. So we happy to participate today and to look at all of what has happened.
Kali, why don't you pick it up from there, and brothers, do speak to each other. We've got you together from around the world.
Thank you for inviting myself and Cooperation Jackson to take place in this discussion. Particular special significance for us because it is our fifth birthday. We founded Cooperation Jackson 5 years ago to really kind of announce to folks in our community and to the world our effort to make a critical intervention in the workers' movement and to really try to tie in the workers' movement with the cooperative union movement, which unfortunately in our country and I think in many parts of the world have been separated from each other a bit too long. We have made some effort to bring those two back together and to really try to encourage working people to build the new world, you know, that we deserve. You know, we're trying to lift up the struggle, lift up the lessons, and really trying to point a new way forward. And that's the most critical thing that we are trying to bring to the struggle at this particular point in time, because there's some major crisis confronting working people and humanity. The most, I think the greatest one in our opinion is the climate crisis and the ecological crisis. And we believe fundamentally it's going to take working people all over the world to change the orientation of the system that we live in, remove the extraction, remove the exploitation, and build on a sound principle around ecology. And what we're aiming towards is eco-socialism. That's what we want to bring to the table, and just really delighted to be here and be part of this discussion.
Gar?
Hi, this is Gar Alperovitz. I'm with the Democracy Collaborative. We've been working on two fronts, and they tie in with what folks are talking about, both Kali and Bobby. First is how you begin at community level to transform the ownership of capital in realistic ways that are either cooperative or community slash cooperative new mixes. So we've been developing bigger experiments, one in Cleveland, one in Preston, England, and several smaller ones around the country that mix those different strategies. This all started out in Ohio with a major, major attempt by steelworkers that I was deeply involved in way back in 77 to take over a large mill and make it into a community slash worker-owned mill. And so the model of community slash worker, different forms of that, is what we've been developing and trying to work with. Also trying to project a vision of democratic socialism that begins with that vision of community as well as workers. How do we look to a system that's not statist or not simply alignment of worker-owned companies that floating in a capitalist sea? What is the model? Trying to get a much more thoughtful and vigorous debate about where all this goes. So those are the two large fronts we've been trying to work on with our group in different areas around the country and a good deal in Great Britain as well.
And, Vavi, we've got the South African elections, and also you've got a pretty fearsome statement on your website, and that is about defending with your lives the fighting independence of the revolutionary and socialist-oriented federation. So how does that actually take hold within the working class?
I act by socialism. We strive for a better world than the barbarism that we are subjected to now, which is called the capitalist system. We were celebrating an independence of state, which is in the east coast of South Africa, where the destruction of our ecosystem, of our environment, and people, working people in particular, are in the receiving end of that destruction. The many people died in South Africa this week as a result of the flood. As if that had not happened, as we speak, the dams are pumping into the environment emissions that will worsen the crisis of the destruction of the ecosystem and worsen global warming and leading to more floods going forward. And you know that there was a cyclone, Idai, that hit Mozambique about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Killed 300 people and displaced hundreds and thousands of people. So we're living the crisis of capitalism in South Africa and in the African continent. And you know, whilst those massive floods are happening, the West is getting drier and drier all the time. It's getting more warmer and warmer all the time. And we're already in a situation where we cannot predict with certainty. And in fact, we don't know when summer is starting, when winter is exactly starting, when it's autumn and when it's spring. The environment and the weather patterns have become so unpredictable that we're happy just to see the sun tomorrow, without knowing when what will happen the next day. This is what has inspired us into believing that this destruction of the world by this system is something that we must struggle against, and to build a new world based on the fundamental protection of the environment, of our ecosystem, and what ensuring that the workers claim what they produce. They battle to ensure that the social surplus value is eventually transferred to them. We still dream that one day we will defeat the class that exploit us. That's where we are. So we were happy today that so many thousands of workers came out to mobilize. The elections, we are a federation of only 2 years, a union amongst ourselves. Celebrated its 60th anniversary in 2017, the biggest union in South Africa, the biggest affiliate of SAFTU, NUMSA, decided in its 2013 Congress that it will spearhead, it will champion, it will crystallize the formation of a socialist revolutionary workers' party to contest power, not just elections, to contest power in society, to make sure that the working class power is felt in every aspect of our lives. And we can, at this moment, wish them the best. The new party, they eventually just launched last month. I'm sure Nusa itself have no expectations of what this party can and cannot do. But nevertheless, we think that a very important step has been taken to register a party of the working people, born out of the fractures of the working people. And we're quite excited by that prospect going forward.
Kaliokuno.
Yeah, very inspiring, you know, despite all the challenges to hear. On our end, we've been concentrating this year in particular on kind of getting ready for some pitch battles here coming in the city of Jackson fairly soon. One of the major things we're trying to avert is a furlough of some of the city workers, trying to push back on the local city council, find some other ways to deal with some of the funding shortages and fight against some of the efforts and conversation towards privatization, which we only heard our community here. So these are the major things kind of on the defensive front that we are really aiming towards, but more in terms of our forward thinking and planning. Some of the major things that we are looking forward to is the major kind of expansion of our work around community production, particularly over the summer as we're going to start really trying to innovate a new way to do housing using a combination of digital fabrication technology and old school knowledge of construction and Southern know-how to really kind of innovate on creating deeply affordable housing in our community for the future so we can resist some of the onslaughts of gentrification and displacement that are threatening to come our way. So we're trying to get ahead of that and stay ahead of that with our work around our community, land trust development in particular. Then the other major piece that we're looking forward to, that same vein, we recently just acquired a plaza, basically a whole block, and that was a major critical move that we think is going to really help us maintain what we call the fortification line. There's a wave of gentrification which has been coming a little bit north, heading our way on a street that kind of meets a street called Fortification Street, ironically enough. And so us getting this plaza really kind of blocks some of the major plans that have been coming down from some of the major kind of regional corporate players and their backers in the state legislature. So that was a critical move for us. But we now have the challenge of really developing in a way that we can fight food apartheid, because there once was a grocery store there that has been shut down over the past 3 years, and that has left a void in our immediate neighborhood where you now have to go at least 2 miles from our immediate neighborhood to acquire any decent food outside of a bodega. So we are taking on the challenge of trying to meet that and do it cooperatively and develop it up from the ground up.
Gar, do you want to comment on what our other speakers have said so far and also the current environment in the U.S. right now? We have a socialist mayor in Jackson, Mississippi. There are socialists being elected all over the country in city councils and in Congress. What's the environment right now for system change?
There is an enormous amount of development and experimentation going on just beneath the surface of the kind Collie was talking about, very advanced in the thinking, particularly in Jackson, but worker ownership or community ownership or cooperative ownership and city ownership, like taking over utilities or land trusts. Various forms of collective ownership are beginning to emerge, practically speaking, in organizing efforts in many parts of the country. The ordinary press does not cover this, but if you're involved in the movement parts of it, you have a sense of the people learning from each other and building up different ways to democratize the ownership of capital. The other piece that we've gotten particularly interested in is if you ask what parts of the American system are currently socialized or semi-socialized, it's obviously the hospitals, which have a huge amount of public money in them, Medicare being and Medicaid being the drivers, but also research money, and the universities. And if you look within those sectors, they are purchasing huge amounts of goods and services. And they can become stabilizers of community and worker-owned companies if they direct some of that publicly financed production to helping build up larger and larger complexes of worker community ownership. That's a major thrust that we think can be advanced. So those two pieces are interesting. The one I've been thinking most about, and we're going to begin looking into discussions with them, The nurses' union in the United States is one of the most radical unions in the country, and they could become very powerful from within the semi-socialized hospital system, which has a lot of federal money and state money, to begin moving resources into community ownership, community purchasing, and helping stabilize the community part of this development process. Same is true at the university level, where, again, we've got lots of public money and a fairly left or potentially left both student and some of the faculty pieces of that puzzle dependent upon the community surrounding them, and there's no reason they can use those resources to help build up cooperatives, community worker-owned companies, community-wide companies that also are joint ventures with co-ops, as in Cleveland, that sort of development. And with that, and I think the politics of that begins to get very interesting as you begin to integrate new models, and something very similar to Jackson, with a politics that begins to actually get self-conscious about what this might mean rather than simply doing projects.
In South Africa, sees doing that and moving systemically towards workers' power. Vavi?
We can rebuild the workers' power on the ground at the time when the power of the capitalist class has become so overwhelming and they're so pronounced than any other time in the history. And it is precisely because of the power they enjoy that many people are beginning to ask the question as to whether this is the best that we can have in the form of the capitalist system. In South Africa, we through SAFTU, we're slowly building what we call the working class power in every aspect of our lives. Last year, we convened a working class summit, which had 147 various community grassroots-based organizations to look at what we do to challenge this power that I was speaking about of a capitalist order. And we came to the conclusion that the lives of our people are now in a total crisis. And the crisis of that system is so pronounced in every aspect of our lives, whether it is about an unequal education system where the top elite are getting the best education system for their kids, whereas the black majority working class are getting the inferior education that simply reproduces the crisis of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. Whether it is the crisis of health care, where the package is a two-tier system, the top elite in society can buy the best health care, but the poor are trapped in a dysfunctional health care where people die from preventable diseases, where the numbers of workers continue to decline, where there's budget cuts as a result of the austerity program government has been following. So we're building power there to contest that on the ground. We're also building power in for workers in the farms, in the agriculture, and we're challenging the evictions and the commodification of every thing moving from public roads to flats inside the towns where the working people and the middle strata are being pushed out through high prices that are being charged in cities like Cape Town. And we're battling against the environmental destruction, whether it is about building localized grassroots organizations to ensure that we take up issues of the destruction of our rivers and to demand accountability for the people who are polluting them. So we've been quite building that because I'm convinced that unless the working class in South Africa, in America, and everywhere else, can begin to rebuild that power from below, who can challenge and push back the capitalist power in every aspect of our lives, then socialism will forever be a dream that we can never realize. Whereas if we begin to build that power on the ground, begin to push the envelope and expand the envelope, then we will eventually say we succeeded to build a new world and its foundations out, rebuilding every society, every aspect of our lives on the ground. And that's what we're trying to do. I'm not saying that we will succeed in the next few years, but how I wish that we could have a coordinated effort.
And Kali and Gar, take us into your final thoughts of the work that you're doing and how it really melds the issue of concrete on-the-ground organizing projects with advancing the empowerment, subsequently, ultimately, of the working class. Kali?
The working class organizations that existed, really going back to the 1930s, took a major beating here in the 80s and 90s. What industry in Jackson largely moved away, either due to divestment or to white flight. And so we've been very mindful of the fact that not only we are trying to organize the vast majority of working class people in the city of Jackson, which are mainly black workers, but we also have to play a critical role of kind of developing the productive forces in Jackson, if you would, really trying to bring back create new jobs and create new services. So it's not just the organizing, it's also kind of filling in certain needs and trying to do so on the basis of equity and really producing what I think Gar laid out is with this community wealth building, right? In our case, we've been really trying to do that, really picking up and trying to fill in some major gap both in production and distribution in our city. But it really starts, as I think was laid out earlier, it really starts by, you know, doing the one-on-one work and really ascertaining folks in our neighborhood and our extended community, you know, what are the concrete needs that people have, and then really trying to match those needs up with the skills that already exist and the resources that already exist in our community. Now, this has been the process we've been following for many, many years, even before the kind of actual birth of Cooperation Jackson. The work that was going on here in Jackson through the People's Assembly was doing kind of a broad both education process but also a broad information gathering process and trying to really figure out how do we work in a very self-sufficient, self-reliant manner to pull our resources together, to pull our labor together, and to begin to transform the world both through, you know, kind of electoral politics, but then I think more importantly by building kind of new productive relationships in the city. And that takes time, it takes vision, it takes patience. But I think we are an example, despite the many challenges that exist here in Jackson. I think we are an example overall of what can be done. I think with sound thinking about your situation and the space, time, and conditions and the relationships there, and bringing people together on the basis of a unified vision and a unified plan, and moving it forward in the face of many challenges and obstacles, you know, on the basis of, hey, we're going to take care of what we need. We're not expecting anybody to come save us at this point. And we know most of the outside world doesn't view us as people who are either kind of worth maintaining in a lot of respects. But we're here to say that we're not disposable, and we're going to do what we can to transform the world into the society, you know, that we need.
And Gar, your thoughts moving forward?
You know, just underneath the monstrosity of the Trump administration, the national press and the local press do not cover what's going on the ground. And what we see, and I have colleagues talking about it in Jackson, but I'm sure in many parts of the country, we see enormous amount of ferment going on and experimentation. On the one hand, developing new forms of ownership. The notion that the economy needs to be democratized or socialized, whatever the language is in land trusts, cooperatives, worker-owned companies, complexes of worker-owned companies. The one that we've been working with in Cleveland is now something like 300 workers, the largest worker cooperative. There's health cooperatives. There are different forms of municipalization and debt being taken on in some parts of the country. So that experimentation is developing a knowledge practical base of a concrete idea of what the socialist and democratic socialist decentralized socialist vision might be. And that's one piece of the puzzle, the practical work, but also the vision that helps us enfold and create and give a sense of direction. At the other level, there's a whole lot of folks who are involved in national politics. They're beginning to introduce ideas of socializing the healthcare system, Medicare for all, that's what that is, beginning to talk about free public education at a whole other level and using new language in a conventional way. Iowa housewives, farm housewives, calling themselves democratic socialists. So that's at the level of national politics and new ideas and rhetoric and language, which is very important. So underneath the larger crisis that's going on, and there is a deep crisis going on of throwing, you know, millions of people disappear from the labor force, and they're off in Appalachia or parts of the rural South or parts of the northern New England on heroin. Underneath that horrible kind of consequence of the failure of the system, there is still a whole other building up development. So I suspect we're going to see that continue. I think it's a very powerful movement that's building. I do not expect we will not go without crackdowns and enormous difficulties. But this is the first time, certainly in my, over the last 15 years, the development of something very real that has content, that has a vision of where it's going, and has more and more people aware of it. It's a movement, and I speak as a historian, that we have not seen in the United States for almost 100 years of development that is beginning to take on a new form at the grassroots level and among younger people and among people who, housewives in Iowa, as I say, think that they and call themselves democratic socialists. So despite the Trump era, despite what I suspect will be violent crackdowns, if there's any violence, and there probably will be violence, I think the movement is laying groundwork for a longer-term transformation, and then it's up to folks to begin to take it seriously and to mobilize it over the next two to three decades to take it into real power.
And we have just a couple of minutes left, and so we want that final message from Kali Aquino and from Zwelin Zimavavi. And I just want to know when Cooperation Jackson is moving to Cooperation Brooklyn, Kali.
We'll play our part to help. We'd love to help because we need, you know, Cooperation Brooklyn, Baltimore, you name it. We need it. We have to build a national movement along the line that Gar was just describing to really transform this country along the lines that I think we need towards that broader democratic socialism. That's a key feature of what we need to do this next period. And I also agree with what he said. The ground is being laid. I mean, there are plenty of forces that we know of in New York who are also doing dynamic work. I think one of the major challenges we have to figure out during this next period is how do we actually link up and begin to not just network with each other, but actually build the kind of productive relations of exchange and bartering and trade and the supply lines and value chains that really bring this new world into concrete focus and view.
Wonderful message to all of our sisters and brothers. We're building bridges because the working class must unite. We have a world to win as we lose our chains. Or it's as we lose our chains, we have a world to win. Well, you get it right, Ken.
We have nothing to lose but our chains. We have a world to win.
Indeed.
But it works the other way around also.
Indeed. And I do want our listeners to know that we were really pleased. The time that we did have is Zwelin Zimavavi, General Secretary of the South African Federation of Trade Unions, a remarkable organization really challenging the power of capital through the labor movement. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.